Gail, you want to take the lead on that?
So on January 14th of this year, the board approved a non-service connected disability for Sherry Critchfield, who passed away September 14th of last year. An active death form had been executed, electing optional settlement 2. Since that time, Cesera's received a medical opinion based on a review of all medical records as well as additional records provided by the beneficiary. The CERL sets forth a method under which the non-service disability allowance is calculated, and if in the opinion of the board the disability is not due to intemperate use of alcohol or drugs, then the disability retirement pension component can be included. So in this case, the board is called upon to determine whether or not the member's disability was due to the member's use of alcohol or drugs.
Okay, first, any questions on the background? I think
to require a motion.
You're here to.
So I'm the beneficiary. Sherry Critchfield is my mother. So I don't know if you guys have been presented the information that I have personally given. Has the board been presented any of the information that I have given? The board members? Yes, with my letter specifically?
No.
Then I'll go ahead and read it. So my name is Christine Sevier. I'm the daughter of the recently deceased Sherry Critchfield. I'm an experienced advocate and have supported families within Contra Costa County for the past 8 years. My background is specifically around social justice, community organization, and a ton of other things. I would like to thank the retirement board for taking the time to hear the evidence that will prove that my late mother, Sherry Critchfield, did not contribute to her passing due to intemperate use of drugs or alcohol. I ask that the board approve the full amount of my mother's non-service connected disability retirement allowance based on the facts that I will prove here today. My mother passed away September 14th, 2014, due to hepatic insufficiency due to cirrhosis of the liver caused by hepatitis C virus. The evidence provided today will substantiate my claims that my mother contracted hepatitis C sometime during the 80s by my father, Gustavo Soto, who was exposed to the virus through a blood transfusion during an emergency visit at Highland Hospital in Oakland. And I also provided a sworn declaration and my father's records that will substantiate those claims. My mother has always known that she was exposed to the virus from my father, but never was tested. She first became aware she did, in fact, contract the virus from my father in 1998 when she started working for Contra Costa County. My mother was not a chronic IV drug abuser, and having hepatitis C does not mean that she was a careless drug addict whose lifestyle contributed to her passing. The truth is, my mother struggled briefly with substances, but that does not mean that the board can conclude that my mother's hepatitis C was acquired as a result of drug use, especially in the absence of any facts or data. To categorize her as such is discriminatory, irresponsible, and very hurtful to me. It is in the board's duty to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that my mother was a chronic IV drug abuser and contributed to her death due to the intemperance use of drugs, alcohol, or liquor, willful misconduct, or violation of the law. My mother does not have criminal or medical records that will substantiate the board's position. The medical history provided from ValleyCare is based on a series of assumptions that lack factual predicate. The board cannot rely on a 2-week span of medical history and medical notes that use the sole foundation for the causation of hepatitis or hepatic insufficiency due to cirrhosis of the liver caused by hepatitis C virus. And I also provided some case law that basically there was a case that I stated that's also in here. Hepatitis C is an infection of the liver. According to the CDC, anyone can become affected with hepatitis C, and more than 75% of adults affected are baby boomers, people born between 1945 and 1965. Both my parents are considered baby boomers. My father was born 1954, my mother 1963. Hepatitis C can spread through sexual contact. Hepatitis C was also spread through blood-borne transfusions due to the lack of blood testing protocols for hepatitis C prior to 1992. Medical literature suggests that complications from the disease will not manifest for approximately 30 years. Medical records provided will clearly state that my mother did not have a long history of illicit drug use. A more complete medical history will also show that she received 4 surgeries on her hands, arms, and shoulders due to work-related injuries between 2004 and 2014, all of which contributed and exacerbated her condition, resulting in the further deterioration of her liver. Furthermore, I would like to set the record straight as far as her drug use is concerned. Around 2008, my mother subsequently became addicted to pain medication as a result from her work-related injuries. She was prescribed powerful, highly addictive pain management medication, more specifically such medications as hydrocortisone, oxycontin, and I would ask that the board pay attention while I'm reading and be a little respectful while I'm going into this. Sir, Mr. Rodriguez.
Gabe,
let me. You know, it's not hard. It's hard enough that I'm here, and this has been a 10-month battle. But at least you can save whatever comments or whatever, write it down while I'm out here pouring out my heart. Can you agree, sir?
I'm trying to get some clarification about this so I can help you
okay.
better.
Well, I would just...
It's for your benefit what I was doing.
Okay, well, thank you. But I've just, you know, I've been battling you guys for 10 months, and to drag my mother's name through the mud and not have a closed session is very upsetting. I'm going to let my friend continue to read.
Resulting from her work-related injuries, she had been prescribed powerful and highly addictive pain management medication, more specifically narcotics such as
hydrocortisone,
Vicodin,
oxycontin, Vicodin, and it goes on and on. And I even attached a list of her prescriptions that she was taking that were prescribed that were also contributing to the failure of her liver. In 2008, she began to have attendance problems at work due to this sedative effects of the narcotics. She briefly had a brief lapse in judgment and used meth to remain alert and attentive while she continued working. During this time in late 2008, I personally attended a meeting with her manager, Mary Jo Castruccio, wherein we, Mary Jo, my mother, and myself, discussed my mother's current struggles as it related to her work-related injuries, advised her manager, Mary Jo, that she intended on taking a leave of absence and planned on admitting herself into a rehabilitation program, of which I also provided the completion documents that she completed rehab. January 19th, 2009, my mother successfully completed a rehabilitation program at Magnolia. Upon returning to work, she was discriminated against and was forced to work in a hostile work environment where her every move and daily function were scrutinized. That's when she filed a complaint with her union, and her union rep is here. The particulars of the situation aren't important, however. It is proof that my mother attended rehabilitation on her own, and she was never dismissed, suspended, or demoted for being under the influence or committing any criminal act or moral turpitude as sufficient cause for action under the personnel management regulations. Her personal records will show that she had attendance issues, but that they were directly related to her declining health. The fact of the matter is, my mother's passing is a direct result of liver disease called hepatitis C. Everything contributed to the progression of her disease: environmental toxins, food, medication, surgeries, salt, protein, smoking cigarettes. A short history of substance abuse does not conclude intemperate use. The World Journal of Gastroenterological Surgery concludes that a person with symptomatic and histological severe chronic active hepatitis have an increased risk of impaired hepatic, synthetic, or excretionary functions, which basically means that each surgery and for every prescribed medication that she took, there was always a risk of hepatic encephalopathy because her liver could not excrete toxins from her body. So for every surgery that my mom got, we had to have like a come to Jesus meeting with the doctors saying that she may go under, you know, whatever anesthetic, and she may not come out of it because of her liver. And as far as her treating physician at Valley Medical Care are concerned, my mother did not report drug use to the treating physicians and others. I did. I was the one at my mother's bedside and pushed Dr. Shingate to keep her in the hospital and out of fear of losing my mother. During the last 2 weeks of my mother's life, I fought the medical staff to keep her admitted in effort to prolong her life by any means necessary. I told Dr. Shinte that I was afraid that she might use and had a long history of drug abuse, primarily because her ammonia levels at that time were so dangerously high and that her liver was shutting down, and I was not ready to let my mother go. I even have voice recorded conversations with Dr. Wolf and Dr. Shinte from that time on my cell phone that I can play here. During those last 2 weeks of my mother's life, she just really wanted to go home and die, and I didn't want her to go home and die at 51 years old. Lastly, I ask that the board provide proof of the following: that my mother's passing was diagnosed, my mother has been diagnosed with substance dependency or abuse. The board cannot, when there are many medical records that will justify evidence of her current sobriety that date back a minimum of 12 consecutive months or longer, proof that my mother exhibited impaired behavior that may be related to substance abuse, misuse, or intemperate use, proof that will demonstrate my mother had a pattern of use of addicted substances, positive drug tests during employment that would show a pattern of substance mishandlings or abuse that would be considered intemperate use. If the board cannot prove my mother, Sherry Critchfield, contributed to her passing due to intemperate use of drugs or alcohol, I ask that the board prove the full amount of my mother's non-service connected disability retirement based on the facts that I have provided here today. Thank you, and sorry for being so emotional, but obviously the nature of the situation is sensitive, and very sensitive, especially the work that I do in the community and my reputation.
First, thank you for your presentation. My understanding on why this is an open meeting is that we are required to have it an open meeting based upon the Brown Act requirements.
Well, I provided some Brown Act requirements that would help have this a closed meeting, but that wasn't considered, but it's too late now, so.
Well, our counsel, both inside and outside, are both here. I misunderstood that we are required to have it an open meeting based on their professional judgment. What strikes me, and I from here go, I believe, to Gail and to Karen, is that although we have a brief summary that is a public document, the attachment is a confidential document, and as a consequence, from a practical point of view, our discussion is reasonably limited to the cover document.
What document are you referring to?
I'm talking about the memorandum of July 8th to the Board of Trustees from Gail Stroll, acting as our benefits manager, I believe, in this capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That the board has received as a part of its package.
But I think it's okay to say that we have reviewed other confidential information, correct?
Yes.
If I may, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Ms. Sevier. I'm Karen Levy. I'm general counsel for the system. I wanted to let you know that the process of this is for the board to actually receive a recommendation and opinion from a medical advisor that they retain to look at the medical evidence. That medical advisor looked at all of the evidence that you submitted and concluded that more likely than not, unfortunately, your mother's death was due to her use of drugs and or alcohol. And so the board does have a copy of that report, opinion, and recommendation. That report sets forth all of the evidence. evidence that the medical advisor reviewed, including a letter from you. One thing I'd like to determine is whether the letter that you read today is the letter that was submitted to the medical advisor for his review.
For the second review, it should have.
Yes.
Was it
Susan
Gail?
Chase, yes.
Yes.
And I even gave medical records, medical release, a sworn affidavit from my father that showed that he did have blood transfusion and his records from Highland Hospital and that he is hepatitis C positive today. And the death certificate does not say, drug overdose or anything. She died from liver failure. And her liver had been slowly deteriorating for years. And everything, even the prescribed narcotics from the doctors contributed. So her brief period of using substances does not mean intemperate use.
I have a question. I don't think anybody in this room can answer it because nobody has an MD after their name. Simply the ingestion of drugs, illicit or prescription drugs, is that sufficient to cause the cirrhosis or to it certainly could have an effect on the cirrhosis, but that in and of itself is not going to give you hepatitis C. Hepatitis C comes from a dirty needle or dirty blood transfusion that contain that. So I'm not sure that as we sit here today, although the medical records indicate the cause of your mother's death, the medical cause, the physical cause of her death, that we can say to a sufficient certainty that this was a result of use of drugs or intemperate use of drugs or alcohol. There's no evidence in here of excessive drinking, which generally is or historically has been the cause of cirrhosis of the liver. So whether or not she ingested drugs using a hypodermic means one time or 100 times. If it was just the one time and the needle was dirty, she could have gotten it that way. Or she contracted it from your father or contracted it in another way. I'm uncomfortable with the language in the statute that talks about intemperate use of alcohol, liquor, or drugs. In my mind, what that means is that the use of the drugs itself or the use of the alcohol itself was the main factor for the death. Whether she, for example, drank alcohol one time from a dirty glass or injected drugs one time using a needle, the issue is how she contracted the hepatitis C. The drugs themselves, in this case, are not apparently the cause of the death. It's the fact that she acquired hepatitis C and the effect that that disease had on her liver. So whether or not I don't think there's evidence here that her use of drugs or alcohol were intemperate. Intemperate in my mind means excessive use. She could have used drugs one time and contracted this, or she could have used drugs 100 times and contracted this sometime during that period of time if that's the way that she contracted it. I don't think that that's what this section really means to deal with. This section, I think, is meant to deal with someone who drinks themselves to death or dies as a result of a drug overdose. I don't think that is not the situation that we have here. So I don't think that this statute, as its intent, I don't think it applies to limit the benefit in this case. I mean, she could have contracted hepatitis C by cutting her foot on a piece of glass walking on the beach. We don't know that. But that's not what the statute talks about. It doesn't say the disability is due to the contraction of hepatitis C. We don't know how she contracted it. She may have had activities or engaged in activities that are more likely to contract it, but we don't know for that fact. And it's not an overuse of alcohol, it's not an overuse of drugs, it's the hepatitis C is the cause of death there. So I don't think that the statute covers this particular instance.
You know, this is something that we've never done before, and I would almost like to put it off. I mean, usually we do this in closed session. I've got a lot of questions that I need answered before I can vote.
And the problem with the closed session,
The
problem with the closed session is the closed session exception applies if the applicant that is still that's applying for disability is still alive. That's the exception that we use to do disabilities in closed session. Unfortunately, your mother is not alive, so that's why we're doing it. We're trying to do it as temperately as possible.
So is this going to be a case like where a jury can only see the evidence submitted to the same public and everything else? We don't. That's what I don't understand.
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Karen, I wanted to ask if you wanted to add anything to Brian's interpretation.
Yes, I just wanted to read the language of the statute that can tell you a little bit about what it is that what the burden of proof is in terms of the cause of this. It's in the memo, and this is Government Code Section 31726B2. So in order to grant the higher allowance to the beneficiary, in this case, in the opinion of the board, the member's disability is not due to excessive use of alcoholic liquor or drugs. So the board would have to find that the member's disability is not due to intemperate use of alcoholic liquor or drugs.
So what information can we use to make this decision?
What did that?
Well, typically a statute tells you that you can employ a medical advisor to assist, and you have, and you've received his opinion. If there is evidence that you feel was overlooked or a specific question, it can be referred back to the medical advisor for a review of those issues.
Can we use a medical advisor's information to vote and choose how we want to decide on this?
Yeah, it's an opinion by an expert, by an advisor.
Okay, but we just can't be vocal about it. We've read something, we can use it to make our decision, so
yes.
It's different than it is evidence that a jury's seen, basically. Okay, thank you.
The dictionary definition of intemperate is having or showing a lack of self-control, immoderate, excessive, undue, inordinate, extreme, unrestrained, given to or characterized by excessive indulgence, especially in alcohol. So essentially, intemperate means overuse of drugs or alcohol.
Right.
That's not the cause of death we have here.
Doesn't it say that?
Jerry?
First, let me say I'm very sorry for your loss, and I know this is a difficult thing for you to go through, and I think I have some appreciation for that, but I'm sure I'll never have full appreciation. The problem for me, I think, is that we're asking to accept or maybe look for proof of a negative. You're suggesting that the evidence isn't, or evidence that, I hate to use the word evidence, that the background is not sufficient to prove that it was the case, therefore we have to accept the suggestion that it was not the case. And without referring directly to the evidence, or the, I hate to keep using the word, the documentation that's been provided, it's been provided by a dispassionate, hopefully objective medical professional who has reviewed all of the information available to him, and it's my understanding now, including information that you've also submitted. And there seems to be sufficient evidence to suggest that it was more likely than not a cause for your mother having contracted hepatitis, as sad as that is and as unfortunate a conclusion as that is. I think we can deal all day with the discussion about words like intemperate. It's more of a term of art, I guess, than it is of anything else. And there's a suggestion there. We can, again, debate all day whether or not this was intemperate, that was intemperate. It's further down the scale. But regrettably, I'm persuaded that there was, in the eyes of the law at least, intemperate use of alcohol and or drugs.
But then you're suggesting that anybody who has hepatitis C is a drug addict?
No.
No, I'm not. I'm suggesting that the additional information that was provided in the doctor's opinion, which seemed to be comprehensive in terms of a lot of different sources of information, all apparently that was at his disposal, has led him to that conclusion. And he certainly is not suggesting in here that everyone who has hepatitis C must have in fact contracted it.
I would like to see that report because he did two evaluations, and that's not my understanding at all.
What is the protocol on her being able to see a copy of the report?
She didn't see a report. Has it been provided to her?
No, I asked personally Gail. I came and seen her personally and asked for it months ago. I've been doing this battle for 10 months. I'm so ready for it to be over.
So I would move that we defer the decision on this matter.
Well, based on the information that's here today, everybody would vote that it was intemperate use?
Well, I'm not sure I know how everybody would vote. But I'm persuaded if there's a basic document here that you haven't seen, deferring it until you have a chance to see it and reflect on it, and if you wish, respond. I think sounds appropriate to me. And
no, I don't want to see it. I want this over with.
Well, the advantage is that we're looking at something you're not aware of. We're going to make a decision based on something. You have no rebuttal to it if you don't read it. I mean, if you want to rebut this, we can do this at another time. I mean, you're entitled to know what we're looking at.
I know, but based on your decision, couldn't I get an attorney and just let them deal with it? Yeah, I just want to be. I have grandparents that I'm taking care of that have Alzheimer's. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I want it. Whatever. Just make a decision today. I want to be over with this.
What the alternatives are and how the process goes forward from here.
Well, we have the issue of applicant wishing to see the doctor's report, which she's entitled to do. Obviously, will take some time unless you wanted to do that today.
She's saying she doesn't want to see
it. I don't.
It.
I just.
Oh, you don't.
No.
Doesn't want to see
I don't.
She receive a copy of
yeah,
it?
I'd like to.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Receive a copy. but I want the decision to be made today. I don't want to do
the
this anymore.
The options are, the statute says, is it the opinion of the board that the disability was not alcoholic liquor or drugs? If you find that the disability was not due to the member's use of alcoholic liquor or drugs, then she would be receiving a greater allowance.
And if we find that it
is. If you accept and agree with the medical advisor's opinion, then she would be getting the lower allowance.
And is there an appeal process? She has an appeal process from that?
Yes.
Yes, she can certainly go to court. She could ask for reconsideration as well.
I know that one of the documents that the doctor considered was actually a public document, which is a death certificate. There are a number of, there was a list of different causes of death, one of which was drug use. It didn't say, like you said, it didn't say drug, you know, drug overdose or anything like that. It didn't indicate.
And the only reason why it says that is because I personally had a conversation with the coroner. So if you look at all of her medical history, you will not see a pattern of drug abuse.
You're saying you told the coroner she did and that wasn't true?
No, I told the coroner, you know, towards the end, you know, it's questionable, and I didn't want her to leave the hospital. And I told Dr. Shinte that I, you know what, if she leaves, she'll probably, she knows she's going, so I just, let's keep her here. So
the
she died in the hospital.
After she died, so you're correct. Saying after she died, you told her?
Yeah,
coroner.
So the coroner asked me if she had a history of the drug use, and
you
I said, yeah.
She did, and
I
now said, you're saying that's not true.
No, I never said that. She did have a short history of drug use, and it doesn't even say on the death certificate, you know, lifelong drug abuse or anything like that. It just says
chronic.
Drug use.
It does say.
Does it say chronic?
It says chronic intravenous. It's a contributing factor, disease that directly caused it.
Yeah, but everything.
Sorry, Kurt, I can you repeat that?
I believe it says chronic intravenous drug use is a contributing factor to the disease that directly caused it.
Mr. Jones?
No, it says four different things on there for why her liver failed.
Harvey?
So does anybody have a copy of the death certificate and anything that I provided?
The applicant was asked not to push this beyond today.
Thank you.
She wants to have
that.
It returned. This document that she apparently hasn't seen from Dr. Blink is only 4 pages long. And it may be useful for you to look at, not postpone after today, but would you like to look at it?
I'd like a copy to keep for...
So that maybe we take a break in this for a few minutes, finish up with the rest of the agenda, give you a chance to look at it and see if it's anything new that you want to...
No, I don't. I just, you can just give me a copy and just let's vote. I have kids. I have other things that I need to attend to.
Name on it.
This is causing me so much emotional distress. It's...
One more final, Karen. She has the right to appeal our decision made right now directly back to the board with any additional information she might want to submit based upon receipt and reflection upon the letter. So you can appeal back to us.
Correct, yeah.
If we make the decision to follow the medical examiner's recommendation. For the record, I'd like to show that I handed to the applicant Dr. Blake's 4-page letter. Okay. I have a motion to go ahead and.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to accept the recommendation of Gail's July 8th memo that the member's disability was more likely. I'm not sure.
More likely than not.
More likely than not due to the member's intemperate use of drugs, and therefore, as mandated by CERL, the non-service-connected disability amount would not be approved? Is that the motion?
It must be the greater
Okay, so it's exactly as it reads here?
Yes.
Okay, so the motion would be that the non-service-connected disability amount must be the greater of service retirement allowance or be annuity without a disability retirement pension.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I just have a quick question of counsel, just to make sure. Is the burden more likely than not? I keep hearing that...
No, that's a higher... standard actually. That's what the medical advisor concluded.
So the medical advisor concluded to a standard higher than we even need?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
All so what is our standard? What is our standard?
The standard is she can receive the higher allowance if, in the opinion of the board, the member's disability is not to intemperate use of alcoholic liquor or drugs.
So the motion is...
So that doesn't speak to the standard that we determine. There's not a stand. There's not a threshold.
Well, it would be more likely than not. It would be a preponderance of the standard. So more likely than not.
You have to find the negative by preponderance.
That's why.
But her having hepatitis C and dying from hepatitis C and her liver, the death certificate says encephalic hepatopathy or whatever, basically her liver shutting down from hepatitis C from cirrhosis of the liver.
I understand there was four, one of them was chronic drug use on the death certificate.
It was listed on there, but that is not one of the main causes of death. The main cause of death is that her liver gave out and her liver had been going hell since the early 80s or 90s when she contracted it, and you know, and my father is living right now with hepatitis C and cirrhosis of the liver. I mean, that's just the normal progression of hepatitis C.
Yeah, I don't think that the main cause of death really is the issue here. I think it's the main cause of the disability. Am I correct?
No, it's yeah, the death if the it's in temporary use.
Death right. is the disability.
And there is even a case law that I cited in one of my my document here that basically in Pennsylvania in 1996, the WCAB held that Dr. Glackman impermissibly assumed that based on coexisting factors of drug use and hepatitis C that the descendant used needles, and that's how the descendant contracted hepatitis C. Now, this guy won his case because he had reported one time that while he was in Vietnam, he used a needle. And based on that one time, that they could not say that that's exactly how he caught hepatitis C and later died of cirrhosis of the liver.
Okay. Yes, yeah, so when I walked in, you were discussing intemperate, and I think that's what we need to define here is that the cause. I don't think the hepatitis C, contracting hepatitis C, and those things coincide. I don't know if they're tied together. For example, if I did drugs one time and I contracted hepatitis C, and would I then not be eligible? You know, because it's related to, I mean, that's what we're kind of leaning towards.
Yeah.
Well, do we have proof that there was an intemperate use of drugs or alcohol?
We have some confidential information.
Right.
So.
No, I know. I see that.
Right. All right, with that, let's go ahead and call for the vote on the motion. All in favor? Probably going to raise your hands.
Aye.
Okay. Gabe, Louie, Debbie, me, Todd, Jerry. Opposed?
I don't think I can vote, right, Karen?
I'm trying to think who's missing.
Opposed is Brian.
He votes.
I voted for Jerry.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Okay. So at this point, the recommendation of the medical officer is accepted. And if you wish to appeal it,
yeah, I'll just appeal it and take it to court. Thank you.
Thank you.